This is a Hipsters of the Coast podcast. This Doom Travelers podcast is brought to you by Hipsters of the Coast, your destination for magic news, strategy, and entertainment. And by Cast Haven, where you can build your magic collection like a pro. Visit casthaven.com for more information.
All right, welcome to episode 8 of Doom Travelers podcast, where we talk about magic and play Destiny. Our topic this week is going to be the modern format debate between Paulo Vitordama de Rosa and Matt Sperling. Joining me tonight, as always, is a panel of the finest guardians in the last city standing. And we will get to each one of them, and they will tell you if they could create a new format of Destiny PvP with only two types of guns, what two types of guns would they want to play with? So starting to my right is Rob Proposal Culpits. Rob, if you could create a PvP format with two types of guns, what would you pick and why?
Auto rifle and chicken launcher, because chicken.
No,
I think maybe auto rifle, and maybe sniper.
Auto rifle and sniper.
Because sniper is precision, and auto rifle is spray and just sort of get lucky, and also a little bit medium short range.
Gotcha. All right. Also, now standing to my right is Matt the Obliterator Jones. Matt, which two gun types would you want to play with?
Auto rifle and shotgun, because all other guns suck.
Makes sense. So I just want to point.
Jones, would you just give them auto rifles and shotguns, but force them to use the shotgun all the time and not actually be able to access the?
I use hard light constantly. What's on my back right now? Look at my back. Hard light.
No, looks pretty soft.
Don't push me. Don't push me, chicken gun guy.
Let me get over here. Let me take a look at Matt. Wait, show me the hard light. Turn around. That is definitely hard light. All right, standing to Matt's right is Dave McNasty McCoy. Dave, which two guns would you go with?
Dave sucks.
My initial response was probably going to be auto rifles and pistols and hand cannons, because that's what I grew up with Halo. But that doesn't provide a lot of combat variation. Like, they're both, you know, pistols, unless they're overpowered, aren't very good at long range, so you're just stuck at short and medium range.
Right.
So I think my revised answer, on second thought, would probably be auto rifles and not sniper rifles, but scout rifles.
Scout rifles.
Those cover the whole range of short, medium, and long range, but concentrates around medium. So it gives you like the whole range without a ton of one hit kills, but it provides a lot of strategic depth, but doesn't give you the hit kills that snipers give you.
All right, our fourth panel member is Matt Grizzle Guido. Matt. What two guns would you bring into your perfect PvP format?
Well, see, I actually was going to do what Dave said, except I like pistols and shotguns to do it Halo style, with the caveat you have to play on Tombstone. That would be fun.
If they had Tombstone in Halo in Destiny, I would play it all day.
You that already play it all day, Dave.
Thanks, Jones.
Oh man.
All right, and I am Rich Alamos Stein, and if I could pick any two guns, I think I would definitely want to keep rocket launchers, because rocket launchers are a ton of fun. And to go with rocket launchers, I would go with sniper rifles, because I think it would be hilarious to have a long-range fight, but it would have to be on one of the very small maps. So it would be like a ton of players scoped in to snipe, and then out of nowhere, rocket launcher would just blow everyone up. And that would be a lot of fun. of course, the my question, my leading question is meant to get everyone thinking about what their perfect format would be, which is a big topic this week in the Magic community, as Paolo Vittardama da Rosa wrote about what he thinks is wrong with Modern. So Paolo basically talked about how he felt combo decks in general were warping the format. And that combo, on the whole, is very unfair. It's not that any specific combo deck is too unfair, but that there's so many unfair combo decks. And at the Pro Tour, a wide variety of combo decks were quite prevalent. And in response to that, basically people chose to either play combo or they chose to play Abzan Midrange. A deck that had a pretty decent matchup across the field against combo. Of course, with access to black, white, and green, it has access to the best, more or less the best hate cards, such as Stony Silence, but also has access to cards like Thoughtseize in the main deck, which can be great at disrupting combo. So Paulo's argument is that is not a healthy format, in his opinion. And his solution is he would like to see control return to prominence and restore the holy trinity of rocks, paper, scissor magic between combo, control, and in this case, aggro is really mid-range Abzan. So let's start with there. And Dave, I think you've talked about this before. What do you think about Paulo's views on Modern?
Well, I think it's interesting, after being one of the people that really wanted the Modern Pro Tour to come back after they decided all of the Pro Tours would be standard, then being thoroughly disappointed with what happened with the Modern Pro Tour, just how utterly boring it was. I think it's interesting that we're getting a lot of pros talking about whether or not the problem with Modern is that it's broken, not that it's boring.
Can we talk about it just for 1 second? I think we messed up badly. Everyone who threw a fit about Modern not getting about Modern Pro Tour and how badly we wanted it, we screwed up so badly. I was one of them. I think this is an opinion that has been expressed by some pro players. You know, Chapin's for sure one of them. He said it that I know of. I think Modern would be a lot better off if it was not a PT format. Well, you wouldn't have to shake it up all the time with banning, because it's just, it wouldn't be that important. They'd be more content to play their decks that they love, and you wouldn't have, you know, Hall of Famers and Platinum Pros trying to break it every 6 months. And Wizards doesn't have to present it in a way that's new and fresh and exciting.
Yeah, I think...
Ghetto, I agree. I think we were perhaps a bit hasty, thinking that Modern was going to die without a Pro Tour, or that Modern was super fun and we'd always want to watch it at the Pro Tour. But I think the reason that it was a mistake is not because the pros are breaking it. Like,
I don't think the pros are breaking it. I think that the Pro Tour makes you can't play the same format at a Pro Tour year after year after year. Whereas if you look at Legacy, you can play pretty much the same format at the Grand Prix and at the Star City level. You know, people are content to do that for these non-rotating formats where it doesn't change so much. But you can't do that with the Pro Tour. They have to show something new and different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of where I was going, that the viewership experience of just watching the same thing over and over isn't great, which is why Standard seems like, in hindsight, a great Pro Tour format, because it changes all the time. It's rotating. But I think part of what's wrong with Modern is just that the cards that are so imbalanced in their power level. Like, a lot of the most powerful cards are banned because they're way more powerful than everything else. And then there's a second tier of powerful cards that are concentrated in the, at least in terms of airplay, they're concentrated in green, white, and black. And then red and blue don't really have much except for burn spells and flash spells that can then be used to combo, like create a combo deck. And there's just not much else.
I think there's no real control deck
because there's the powerful blue spells are banned. The most powerful blue spells are banned. Even the draw spells are banned. And I think Obzon is the closest thing we have to a control deck. It's really just a mid-range deck, but it's a mid-range deck playing as controlling of a deck as a green-white-black deck could play just without Wrath.
I think Bundles would definitely serve the format well, and a lot. You know, I don't know if I can get on board with the full-on Ancestral, because that card is pretty powerful. I would honestly rather see maybe Jace Bloodbraid out, you know.
Well, I mean, Jace is very powerful too. I mean, these are all extremely powerful cards, and I have to, you know, I wonder, because Paulo obviously also argued in favor of bringing back, specifically bringing back, Visions. And it's
right. The
question I have with respect to bringing back Visions is, does bringing back Visions actually create a viable control deck? Or does it warp the format in some way that we can't really predict?
I think it warps the format. Like, I really do. I think it makes it, a card draw spell like that is extremely powerful.
Well, we've seen it a lot of times. Anytime you can get that kind of return for a one mana investment, it makes sense to try it in a lot of different places, right?
I think the thing with Modern is, like I said before, the power is just not spread out very evenly. And that's because you're only playing with about half of Magic's history, and the power level has gone up and down in that history. And what that means is only certain colors have extremely powerful cards, and with all the fetch lands in Modern, you can build mana bases that can just play all the most powerful cards. You don't have to make any interesting deck-building decisions. You just are like, oh, okay, these are the best cards. I can play all of them because I have fetch lands and shock lands to build a perfect mana base. And then you end up with decks like Obzon that are just all-round... are powerful because they have answers for everything. Right? You say you ban the fetch lands and you make mana bases much harder to construct, then you introduce interesting deck building decisions where you can't just jam all the most powerful cards together, and you actually have to decide, what does this deck do? Does it attack extremely quickly before they can get their answers online? Or, like, what does it do? You know, now you don't even have to think what your deck does. You're just like, oh, all right, I need these super powerful cards, and who cares if they work well together? It doesn't matter. They're just super powerful cards, and I'll win eventually.
I don't think that would ever happen.
I'm not saying it'll ever happen. I think if you want Modern to be a more evenly powered...
What do you think, Matt? Matt, I want your opinion on this one. Matt Jones. Ban fetch lands. Yes or no?
No.
How come?
Dude, I got called the guy who writes the cranky articles this weekend by somebody when describing who I was as a hipster's writer, and I am the cranky guy. Like, I just don't care. Like, just unban everything. Just unban everything. I don't give a shit.
Can
I ask a question to everybody?
Yeah.
Was there ever a point, like, I want to know how people feel about Modern in general. Was there a point when you liked the format? I mean, I gotta say, last PTQ season, I really enjoyed Modern.
Yeah, I agree. I did too. But I also, like, my being tied to Modern as a format has to do with, like, when can I play Modern? I have no opportunities to play Modern anymore, so it doesn't matter to me what the fuck happens in Modern. I've said this a million times on this podcast and in articles. Like, it was great because it was part of a PTQ season where you got to talk to your buddies and figure out which decks to play. Test all the time. And now it's like...
But I like the format itself.
I mean,
I call up Dave and I'm like, hey, Dave, do you want to run a gauntlet of modern decks? You know, I'll proxy F all 8 main decks and we'll just smash. Like, no, we got other shit to do.
That's that's a great point, that there really isn't a whole lot of modern testing going on and just casual playing modern, because it's not it's lost some of the biggest support it had, which was PTQ season. You know, now it's just really Grand Prix that drive that sort of thing, and that doesn't translate really well to widespread format testing, because there's just not a point to it, really.
I mean, there is for people who really like playing a format, they can test formats and play formats, but if you want to play competitively, you need to put in a lot more time, I think, than ever, especially since there's no focused PTQ season, so that, you know, like, you have to put in a lot of time with little benefits to be able to be good at these formats and understand this format. You know, like, I like playing Legacy because it basically stays the same, more or less, and I can do the one or two GPs there are a year, and I can enter in an occasional, like, SCG tournament when it comes locally, and I don't have to test constantly every freaking, you know, whatever, for every huge shift in the meta. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's probably always going to be pretty good. And I like that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Modern is the same way. I had Boggle, I had Affinity, I had Jund, and it was fun to play any of those three decks. And now,
but I'm also a long time.
I don't play anything. You're a long time what?
I'm also a long time pod.
Yeah.
I played pod for 2 years. But you know, I also liked Modern when it first came out, when I was playing like Esper Delver and Doran.
Doran was fun.
I think Modern has had a lot of moments where it's in a fine format, and I don't think it's bad right now, you know. It is definitely, there's definitely a lot of stress put on the fair decks, and...
So, Gaida, what's the difference between this metagame and the PTQ metagame we saw last summer? What makes this Modern metagame different? A lot of the decks are the same, just without pod, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what that goes back to what I was saying earlier, though. The PTQ metagame and the Pro Tour metagame are not going to be the same. You're not going to see almost 30% of the decks be adds in, right? You're going to see people play their decks that they have and they've played for years, whether they're tier one, you know, or not. But they're probably fine. Like, there are a lot of Modern decks that are playable that pros won't play.
Yeah, right. So it's actually like that's an excellent point, because if you look at the metagame from Vancouver, which I mean, you know, it's not a pro tour, it's a much broader sample of the Modern playing population, and the metagame was a lot different, especially the day two metagame. If you want to look at the people who came and were successful,
so for the example,
isn't 30%
of
them.
I've seen a lot of twins.
Yeah, there's a lot of twins.
But, like, that's fine. Like, this thing, it also goes in cycles, you know? Like...
So this is the big question, right? Is Modern a format that... Is the Pro Tour metagame, where it's combo versus Abzan, representative of the format? Or is the format much healthier than Paulo thinks it is, and that we're just kind of... Look at, oh, congratulations, Matt, for getting the one of the best hand cannons in the game.
That's so great.
I
wish I had 0.69 KD, though.
But, I mean, is the format healthy? And I understand, you know, we have a very small sample size to go on post-Pro Tour metagame. We only have the Pro Tour and we have the Grand Prix. And that's not a whole lot of data to go on. How many more events would you like to see before we start making judgments on the health of Modern?
I think this format's healthy. I play it a lot on Moto.
Right.
I think it's fine. But what is your definition of a healthy format? There are plenty of decks that you can play.
Yeah. Right.
If you think that there are plenty of decks that you can play and have a shot to win your tournament, like, I don't know what else you want. Like,
that's a great point. Right. What is it that makes a healthy format? And I think you kind of, for me personally, I think you've hit the nail on the head. There's a wide variety of decks that you can play, and you go into the tournament with your deck feeling like you have a chance to win. Dave, do you agree with that? Matt? Jones?
I think that something else that maybe hasn't been brought up is, or maybe it was and I was too busy getting that sweet gun, that there's a huge difference between something being good for the Pro Tour and something being good as a format.
Right, so let's talk about what's good for the format, because that's what matters to people, right? The majority of players don't actually care what's good for the Pro Tour. But what's good for Modern?
I think it's fine the way it is. I think that maybe they should unban some of the more powerful cards, but like, I don't think Deathrite Shaman is the worst thing ever.
What do you think it is that makes the format okay? Is it what Guido was saying? The fact that you can, basically there's a wide variety of decks you can play?
It's very diverse, and there's a lot of answers to a lot of the other decks. There's nothing that's singularly oppressive.
Like, as just think about what you want in a format as a not like as in just as a
capture all a player.
Player who is not thinking about the Pro Tour, right? You're gonna play in tournaments, but we all like have to buy cards, own our cards. You know, like I want a format with some stability and a lot of different decks, and I want to feel like I can win. You know, I don't need to feel like I have a huge edge over the field for a format like Modern or Legacy.
Yeah, but you want a shot.
Right. I want to feel like I can win if I know what I'm doing and I play tight, you know, and maybe I dodge one too bad matchup.
But that's kind of the key right there is being able to dodge key matchups, right? Because that's
I think you're never going to be able to beat everything. I think you build a deck that's going to have no bad matchups in a format as big as Modern is. You know, ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's a perfect point, and that's the point that Matt Sperling made this week. He wrote a rebuttal to Paulo's piece, and he talked about how he felt that the format was diverse, basically saying the exact same thing that you guys are saying, which is that there's a lot of decks that you can play, and basically all of the decks in the format have some reasonable shot at taking a tournament down. But the trade-off is that you have to get a little lucky. Sometimes it's dodging a bad matchup, or it's finding the sideboard cards you bring in for your bad matchups. But ultimately there's going to have to be some level of luck involved. I think for the Pro Tour players, more than any other group of player, they're not happy with that idea. That they're going to have to rely on a little bit of luck to get by. They would much rather win off of play skill, which of course is why they're all calling for cards like Jace the Mind Sculptor to be unbanned, because Jace, of course, was the key piece of the Cawblade decks, which really highlighted play skill over random chance. But
I think a lot of people are fine with there being unbannings, so, though. Do there need to be unbanned?
I think you're right, because every week I load up someone else's opinion on unbanning cards. So I think you're right. There's a lot of sentiment in the community that there are a lot of cards that could be unbanned. But I think the more important question is right now, we're only a few weeks, a month maybe, since the announcement that Birthing Pod was getting the axe. We've had one major tournament and one Grand Prix now in the books with that format. Can we honestly say with such a small sample size that Modern is so unfair right now that we need to start, that, that in a few weeks when Dragons of Tarkir comes out, we need to unban cards.
No, I'm sorry. Let me just clarify what I mean by banning. I think a lot of people think that philosophically the format has been banned too much, and just in general we could do for unbanning. Personally, I think I would like to see some stability in the format for some time. So, like, I think we're fine right now.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think bannings have been pretty harsh in Modern, but I think the reason bannings have been felt so harshly in Modern is the fact that there are so few powerful cards, like obviously powerful cards. And what that results in is decks that play the obviously powerful cards. And since they're so obviously powerful, a bunch of people play those same decks that are playing the obviously powerful cards. In Legacy, you have so many more obviously powerful cards that it's hard to build a deck that just uses all the powerful cards, and there's a lot more variation in the decks that use the powerful cards. They don't all just take the 10 most powerful cards and throw them together, like Obzon feels like. There's a lot more variation. Like, you have your Delver decks, but then you have like 10 different kinds of Delver decks. Whereas in Modern, you have Obzon, but you don't have 10 different types of Obzon. You really just have one kind of Obzon that may have like 5 card differences between the rest of the field. And that's what people find boring, is that these most powerful decks are just the same from deck to deck. You don't get the variation that you get in Legacy. And I think that's where a lot of the complaints about the boring aspects of Modern come from. I don't think it's boring because there are bannings. I think it's boring because when you have powerful decks, each person playing that powerful deck at a tournament looks the same as the other person playing that powerful deck. And that's unfortunate, just having a room full of, yes, 10 different archetypes, but every deck in that archetype looking exactly the same. That's boring.
Yeah. So the matches basically just play out the same?
Yeah, the exact same, yeah. And that's unfortunate. That's why people are excited with, like, Rub Twin, when Rub Twin was a big thing. Like, that was really cool, because that was, like, a variation on one of the most powerful strategies in Modern. And that just doesn't happen a lot. You don't see variations like that very often. You have Affinity, like, it was cool when Affinity, like, 2 years ago, Affinity took a turn from red to blue, and then now it's kind of splitting the red and blue splashes. Like, that was cool. And the reason it was cool is because it was different than what happens in the rest of the...
Recently played Temple of Steel at the Pro Tour. So, like, these things still happen.
No, I'm not saying, like, individual players can't make that choice. What I'm saying is, like, they're not... like, the idea that there are multiple versions of Affinity that you have to prepare for, it doesn't exist, because there's one version of Affinity. You can experiment, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you take my Delver example and Legacy, there are a bunch of different popular Delver decks, like ways that you can play Delver. It's not that those are just experimentations, it's that those are part of the metagame, a permanent part of the metagame. And you just don't get that kind of variation in archetypes in Modern.
But
like most of one archetype is very, all the decks are very similar.
And you think that's different from, say, Legacy because of the existence of multiple variations of the same deck, like
Delver. And I think that's what makes it quote unquote boring for people. Why they think it's boring is because they see the same decks over and over. And that's why they think it's boring. It's not because of the bannings that it's boring. It's because within the archetypes.
So how do you think that variation comes about? Is there a way to create that variation other than through unbannings? Zone
B. I mean, I think the ban list is too small for it to have a huge impact on the variation within archetypes. I mean, Legacy has the advantage of having basically all of the cards in Magic's history, and of course, Modern's doesn't have that advantage, and it just suffers from the uneven power level that Magic has suffered from for the past couple of years, or past decade or so. So I'm not sure there's an easy fix. Like, I think that's just a problem inherent in modern, and that's why people think are getting this impression that modern is a boring spectator format. And it might be. It might just be a bad spectator format, or at least Grand Prix, not Grand Prix, Pro Tour format, because it's so consistent from deck to deck.
Right.
Within an archetype.
So
I don't think that makes it a bad format at all. I think that just makes it possibly a bad Pro Tour format and a kind of a mix in
even
more
solid.
Well, it's very
bad at highlighting new cards, right?
Yes, so that's what I was going to talk about.
It doesn't change at all, you know, and all. I mean, it's super, super stable from deck to deck, you know, within the archetypes. And it, unless you print stupid, ridiculous, powerful cards like Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, you know, that are way too good and have to be banned immediately. Like, it's very hard to force cards into these formats, and you need to highlight your new set at the Pro Tour. You know, it's the promotional tour, not the professional tour.
Right.
I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, totally. And also, it's much more interesting to look at people trying to figure something out than for people to just mash things that are already figured out together.
No,
so
that's
standard
is a
much more interesting constructive format than.
But to an extent, then, do you think Legacy would make a good Pro Tour format?
Maybe once in a while.
Hold on, Jones, I think you saying that Standard is a more interesting Pro Tour format. I think it's a more interesting deck building format. I think you see a lot more interesting deck building choices and a lot more interesting matchups happen in Standard. But the gameplay in Standard tends to be a little lackluster. The cards just aren't as powerful, and et cetera. Like, watching Standard is just... The game interactions are a lot simpler than they are in Modern, and oftentimes less interesting. If I'm going to watch one match between two high-level players, I'd rather them play Modern, because the game decisions in Modern are very complex. So much is happening that it really rewards a skilled player. And so that, in terms of watching a match, I think watching Modern, one modern match is a lot more fun than watching one standard match.
Alright, well, I'm gonna
rounds of Modern matches, it's the same archetype with the same 75 over and over and over.
Alright, I wanna cut you off there because we only have 40 seconds left in this round. I want to get some final thoughts from people on Modern, starting with Matt Guido. If you could make any change to Modern, or not change it at all right now, what would you do? 30 seconds
and counting. Your light is fine as it is. My dream plan would go back towards something where my beloved birthing pod is legal.
Would you unban birthing pod then?
I didn't think it was unfair, honestly. You're telling me, like, Splinter Twin, you know, there's always going to be something in the format that's the best thing to do. You know, that being said, I don't know what the best balance is. I would bring Birthing Pod back. I think Jace Bloodbred Elf probably fine. You can't tell me Siege Rhino. Bloodbred Elf.
Dave, congratulations on getting Radagast Fury. If you could make one change to Modern or leave it as it is, what would you do?
I would, you know, I rarely agree with Matt Sperling, but I would ban the fetch lands.
Got it.
The fetch lands make the mana bases too easy to construct, and you can just play all of the powerful cards.
Matt Jones, same question.
I would unban Jace the Ninth Sculptor, Deathrite Shaman, Bloodbred Elf, and anything else that is wacky and fun that they've banned, so that the format has much more crazy, powerful interactions than it does.
I like it. Personally, just because I'm a crazy person and it's my favorite deck, I would unban Dread Return.
of course you would.
Unban Deathrite Shaman, we can unban Dread Return.
For sure.
No, I would take people up on that in a heartbeat. Because In Legacy and Vintage, none of those cards are enough to prevent Dredge from being a playable deck. So if it means Dredge can exist in a healthy format and be playable, like you were saying earlier, Gaida, that you just want decks that you can play and you have a chance with, maybe you get some bad matchups, maybe you don't. If Dredge could be one of those decks, I would be thrilled. So that's that. All right. So you got one last thing to say, Gaida?
No, that's just...
That's okay.
We want something different. A pros want to break the format for the Pro Tour and have a deck that has 90% crazy matchups.
Yeah.
Guys who play the format every week just want to have a shot and enjoy their deck.
I think so. And I think that really plays to the thing you said at the top of the podcast, which is we all made a mistake by demanding Modern be a Pro Tour format. And hopefully it's a mistake we will not make again. And that's all the time we got for this episode. So we'll see you guys next time. And how do I stop this?
Hey Guardians, thanks for tuning in to the Doom Travelers podcast, where we discuss Magic the Gathering while playing Destiny. You can find more at doomtravelers.com or follow at Doom Travelers on Twitter. Thanks to Robert Kolpitz and Matt Guido for joining us in the Crucible this week. Playing Iron Banner with you guys was fun while it lasted. For my co-hosts Rich Stein and Matt the Obliterator Jones, I'm David Bones McCoy. See you next time. Nothing past William Howard.